Welcome to Harvest Connection Podcast. Our prayer for you as you listen to these messages is that you will be connected upward, inward, and outward for God's kingdom purpose in your life.
Congratulations. You're here on 4th of July weekend. Yeah. Obviously, probably a lot of us are out traveling, but we also get the benefit of people who have traveled here. And so I know we've got a number of new people, family members. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part with us today. And I hope God really blesses your time together with us today. You know, by all logical rights, I shouldn't be standing up here in front of you today. Every time, maybe some of you have taken some of these personality tests that, you know, they tell you, oh, you're the lion or you're the eagle. You know, I'm always the muskrat or the Labrador retriever. I am an introvert, if that means something to you, a contemplator. That means I'm kind of up in my head a lot. All those nice things that Brett was saying about me. That's the positive side of saying, you know, I really overthink things sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I kind of build this fortress around myself and hide in there, and I'm trying to control my environment. And everything about my personality says, I hate being up here in front of you because I'm terrified of large groups of people. I'm afraid you're going to judge me. I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And, you know, I'll create a disaster. But one of the great things in my life is that God, through Christ, has come in and he's blessed me tremendously. He's addressed the troubles that I've dealt with in my life. And because he has brought so much to me and given so much to me, it really made me want to overcome that natural side of me, that natural fear that I deal with. Because I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you. I want to be able to share a bit of the Lord with you if I can and encourage you in your walk in the Lord. And so while this should be my worst nightmare ever, being up here in front of you, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity, and I hope today is a blessing to you. You know, as I was thinking about this week, the theme for today, which is trouble, I was thinking about the trouble that I have dealt with in my life. You know, when I was a little kid, I was kind of a crybaby. That was my trouble. I fall down, scrape my knee, burst into tears. Somebody called me a name. I burst into tears. Of course, that led to more trouble, right? Because everybody made fun of me. My dad kicked me in the rear. Come on, be a man. Moved on to high school. I toughened up a little bit and formed a dream. I was going to be the first short white guy from Idaho to be a center in the NBA. But I didn't make it. And I can look back and laugh uproariously about that now, but at the time, you know, it was a real heartbreaker for me. It was a real trouble, a real problem. I moved on to college and I went through some real struggles with my faith. I was confronted with some questions I'd never been confronted with. I wondered about my direction in life, my career direction. I wondered if I'd ever get married, find a good wife. Later on the mission field, I dealt with financial hardships and loneliness, just being isolated and so far away from the people I knew and loved. As we started our family, we dealt with the things that you deal with when you're married, raising kids, you know, conflict in our marriage, disagreements about what we should do next, trying to make sure we're raising our kids in the best way possible and imparting faith to them, which we really wanted to do, but that's a complex thing to do. We've been through church drama. That's our word for it. Maybe you've been injured by a church at some point. A church leader said something or did something to you, or just in general, you had a church that was cold, or maybe it was ungodly in some way. We've been through those kind of times, and we've had some spiritual heroes who disappointed us, hurt us. You know, more recently, seems like my blood pressure is going up. The quality of my eyesight is going down. a couple of discs in my back turned up here a couple months ago. I think the chiropractor said something about them looking like cat food or paper mache or something equally unpleasant. You know, that's not what you want the discs in your back to look like. The good thing about my back is it made me forget about my shoulder that had been hurting and my heel that had tendonitis in it. You know, I kind of forgot about those things. Anybody relate to any of that? Can I get an amen? got a few struggles and troubles. You know, Curtis often quotes John 16:33, where Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. All right? It is universal. We're all in the same boat. So thank you, Captain Obvious, for talking about something we all already know, already experience. Why would we talk about trouble? Well, I think many of us are tempted to a certain false belief when it comes to our trouble. We're experiencing trouble, but there's this little voice in our head saying, this is abnormal. There's something wrong. Life should be easy. And if that's abnormal, if my troubles are abnormal, maybe I'm abnormal. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I met some confused believers who seem to think, if I'm faithful enough, if I'm super spiritual, then all my problems will go away. I won't get sick. My finances will always work out. My grandmother was one such person. My grandma Helen, my dad's mom, she belonged to a group called the Christian Scientists. I don't know if you're familiar with that group, but they have a number of unusual beliefs, one of which is all physical illness is basically an illusion. It's the result of not having enough faith in God. And my uncle was telling me here a couple of years ago that when he and my dad were kids, whenever they would get sick, instead of giving them medication or taking them to the doctor, their mom, my grandma, would sit down at the piano and she would play and sing Onward Christian Soldiers over and over again until they got better. Now, you know, sometimes that was a couple hours, sometimes that was 3 or 4 days. And she would just continually play that song. And that was one of my uncle's memories of life with his mom. Unfortunately, in spite of her sincere belief, my grandmother suffered and died from cancer some years later. Not unusual, right? Not abnormal. A lot of people deal with that. Is it a sign of lack of faith, or is it just life? If we're in this world, we will have trouble, right? I want to share with you today 4 realities about trouble, and then 4 things maybe that you can do to try and overcome the trouble. First reality is our trouble is typical. Had this light bulb moment about 15 years ago. Shelley and I were at this big conference up at Chicago at a big church up there. And there was about 4,000 people in this auditorium. And there was a speaker and he was speaking about the reality of our troubles, of our problems. And as part of his teaching, they had given us all these little slips of rice paper. I don't know if you know what rice paper is. It's paper made out of rice. Duh. But it's very water soluble, and that was the important part here. And so what he invited us to do was dig down deep and be really honest and write down on there, what are you really struggling with right now? And as his teaching ended, he invited everybody, you know, whoever wanted to come up. There were these big bowls of water up on the stage area, and he said, you can come and drop your paper, your rice paper, into the bowl of water, and it would immediately dissolve, and so there was confidentiality, I think, was the idea there. So, but what really struck me was, so this is a room, 4,000 pastors, spiritual leaders, people who are, you know, they're killing it, right? They're spiritually, these are the top of the heap. I sat there and watched for 45 minutes as hundreds, probably thousands of people streamed down with little slips of paper, dropped them into those water bowls. Trouble is typical. We are all dealing with something, and it really came home to me when I saw that. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." So even back in the first century, there were people like, we thought if we just followed Jesus, everything would be great. Nope. Fiery ordeals. The reality is God's people have always struggled. In fact, in the Old Testament, the name Israel, if you go back to Genesis 32, Jacob's name is changed to Israel, right? And then all of their descendants are named after him. The name Israel means the one who struggles with God. That's what Israel's name was you struggle. Jesus obviously struggled, the man of sorrows. He came and poured out his life for us. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was crucified, humiliated. The apostles after him, smooth sailing? Nope. Imprisonment, stoning, beatings, shipwrecks, martyrdom. A bunch of us, for the pastor's class, we've been reading some church history books. Guess what? From the time of the apostles to today, trouble for Christians. Persecution, exile, arrest, criticism. Worldwide today, Christians are dealing with trouble, right? Go over to the Middle East, in Syria and Egypt. Those used to be seats of ancient Christianity. From back in the first century, there were huge communities of Christians in those places. Almost zero Christians left in those places because of the persecution they've been experiencing. Africa, millions of our brothers and sisters are dealing with poverty and warfare and persecution, especially from Islam. China, I don't know if you watch, Christianity is growing like crazy in China, and it's really scaring the communist government. They've started tearing down church buildings and imprisoning pastors there. The people in this room, the person sitting next to you here at Harvest, they're dealing with struggles. I guarantee it. And many of you, I've gotten to walk through some of your struggles with you. And I thank you for trusting and letting me pray with you and walk through some of that with you. There's nothing abnormal about our troubles. They're typical. Everybody has been dealing with them from the beginning of time. So that's the first reality. It's typical. It's normal. The second reality is our trouble is training. Out of James chapter 1, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Back when I was playing basketball there in high school, before I wasn't good enough to play anymore, we had a drill. We called them suicides. Anybody know what a suicide is? Anybody ever experienced that? In case you don't know, it's a drill where you stand under the basket at the baseline of the court, and then you run up to the free throw line, and you run back. And then you turn around and you run to half court and back, and then to the far free throw line and back, and then finally to the other end of the court and back. That is one suicide. And most of the time at the end of basketball practice, we'd run 6, 8, 10 of those at the end. Maybe more if we were slacking or we'd gotten in trouble in practice that day. I hated suicides. You know, we got guys throwing up, laying on the floor, heaving, you know. And we were doing that for fun, right? We were all there voluntarily. Maybe you've watched a TV show, or maybe you've experienced it. We've got some military people here, but you know, I watched Navy SEAL training or Army Ranger training on TV sometimes, and you see these guys are out there carrying these logs and rolling around in the sand in the ocean for 8 or 10 hours. They'll drop them 3 miles out in the ocean and tell them to swim back to shore, blowing stuff up, making them carry packs 60 miles without stopping. And guess what? Voluntary, right? Those guys are there because they want to be. The Navy SEALs, they can quit anytime they want to. All that torturous stuff, all they got to do is ring the bell, right? There's a little bell on the side of the barracks, and all I got to do is go ding it, and they're done. All the pain and suffering, hardship is over. Why would they go through all that? Well, why did we run suicides? Because we were training to become more powerful. We were training so that we could win, right? We wanted to beat the challenges before us. Those Navy SEALs are doing that because they want to be prepared for anything. So they volunteer to do it. No athlete wins a gold medal without pushing the envelope, right, of what they can endure. If you've ever lifted weights, you know, if you can bench press 200 pounds, but you only put 20 pounds on there, you're not getting much benefit out of it. To get benefit, you got to put on 210 pounds and be right at the edge of what you can handle. And it's painful and it hurts and you're tired and you're sore. But that's where we grow, right there on the ragged edge of what we can endure. Now, I'm not saying God is doing all these things to us, but I think God uses the things that are happening to us to train us, to prepare us, to make us stronger in our faith, in our walk. A few years ago, Shelley and I had one of our dark times, I would say, in our family life. Just a bunch of things had happened in a short period of time, and we threw up our hands, "Why us, O Lord? Why this? Why now?" Shelley actually got a specific answer one day as she was praying about that. Her answer was, "Because you can handle it." And when she told me that, I was like, I'm not sure I understand what that means. But over the years, in reflecting back on it, it sounds a lot like something your coach would say, right? Why are we carrying this up this hill? Why are we running another suicide? You can handle it. You can make it. I want you to be that much faster than the guy on the other team, that much stronger when the next big challenge comes. So the Lord lets trouble come because with Him, we can handle it. The third reality of trouble is our trouble is temporary. Recently, you know, I was mentioning my back trouble. I'm starting to have all this pain, so I finally, you know, after enduring it for several weeks, Shelley said, "You should go see somebody." So I go to the chiropractor, and, you know, they do this x-ray diagnostic and examine me, and they immediately say, "We scheduled you for an MRI." That's not what you want to hear from your chiropractor. So first thing the next morning, I go get an MRI and come back the next day, and they look at my report, and that's when I get the good news. You know, you have cat food for discs down there in your lower back. Here, I can even show you the picture of your cat food, which was very enjoyable. And my chiropractor actually said, "I'm not sure we can help you. You probably need to go to a surgeon." Wow. That was kind of frightening. That was a wake-up call for me. I was dealing with this pain, and now all of a sudden, surgery? This might be permanent. I could lose some mobility. What about the expense? And all these things started rushing through my head. And I guess I got slapped in the face, which I should have known this before because of my eyes getting bad. You know, I'm wearing bifocals after wearing nothing most of my life. Now I went straight to bifocals. you know, my arm won't go back any further than this. And, you know, all these little things I should have known, my body's kind of wearing out. I've been using it for a long time. Not always in the best ways. Kind of abusing it, running suicides sometimes. And it slapped me in the face. And I started praying about this back issue. And thank you to those of you who prayed for me. You know, one day Bobby and Jim Bob, I asked them to pray for me because I know they had been down this road already. They had already dealt with this and they were very compassionate about that. And they prayed for my healing. And as I was just seeking the Lord, what's this all about? I got a lot of comfort from this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You know, who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. At one point, he lists all the things that had happened to him. Shipwrecked 3 times. Scourged by the Jews 3 or 4 times. 40 lashes each time. One time in Acts, he's stoned, apparently to death. But after everybody walks away, he gets up, brushes himself off, and walks off to the next town. Some people think he actually died and the Lord just raised him from the dead, although that's not what the passage says. But, you know, he was thrown in prison. He talks about a thorn in the flesh that the Lord gave him. Most people think that was some sort of physical infirmity. Maybe his eyesight was going bad. Our light and momentary troubles. Shipwrecks, stonings, loss of eyesight, martyrdom. Paul calls it light and momentary, compared to the eternal weight of glory that's prepared for us. What we are going through right now, this is all temporary. It's a training period, right? For the reality that we have yet to see, the eternal reality. Me, yeah, my body's wearing out. If it's not my back, it's going to be something else. A few years down the road, my kidneys will quit working, my heart will quit working, something's going to quit working, and my body will just clunk. I'll die, right? I mean, that's the reality. None of us is getting out of this alive in this body. But the good news is I have a new body waiting for me where I won't have to go on the South Beach diet. Or do Whole 30 to try and, you know, get the toxins out. Measure my BMI. You know, a new body that will be like his body. Our troubles are temporary. Fourth reality, our troubles always precede our triumphs. Curtis often quotes a verse from Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to back up a couple verses to just put a little context on the statement that you have often heard him quote. A lot of times in Revelation, John is kind of pulling back the curtain so you can see into the spiritual realm, see things that are going on, as Paul was talking about, in the unseen, right? The what we see is the temporary. This is the eternal. So he's letting us see into that eternal world. Revelation 12, starting with verse 7, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, without a battle, there is no victory. Without Christ's suffering, his crucifixion, his death, there is no glorious resurrection day. There is no Easter. Without our trials and troubles, there is no testimony. Back in 2014, that was one of those dark times for me personally. I was pretty hurt, defeated, discouraged, not physically hurt, but spiritually and emotionally beaten down. And basically, I had kind of, going back to my basketball analogy, I decided playing out on the court's a little too rough, a little too many elbows. I'm just going to go sit in the bleachers for a while. Maybe you can relate. But right about that time, some good friends of ours, the Tuckers, said, "You need to come check this church out we've been going to, called Harvest." And so we came, and about a week later, somebody said, "You should come to men's retreat." And I thought, okay, why not? So after one Sunday here, I was at Cedar Canyon for a weekend with a bunch of you men. And that was a real turning point for me spiritually. I remember one of the brothers got up and he quoted Teddy Roosevelt, this great quote about not giving up, about staying in the arena and fighting, that it's only sad and timid souls who jump out into the bleachers and refuse to play the game. And the Lord really spoke to me through that. And I decided at that moment, I don't want to let my problems defeat me. I don't want to let them win. I'm going to climb back into the arena. And next week will be my 4-year anniversary on staff here at Harvest. And I just really thank you. I don't say that to say anything about me, but you guys have played a huge role in helping me overcome my troubles and my discouragement and my problems. Thank you for being part of my life. So what do we do with all these realities? Well, I got four suggestions for you. The second part of that John 16:33 passage, "This world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world," Jesus says. How do we overcome with him? Because trouble is not the only reality. Jesus' power to overcome is a greater reality. Four things you can do to access that power of Jesus to overcome. First of all, take a knee. Maybe you've watched the NCAA tournament. Imagine Texas Tech, Duke Blue Devils are playing. Duke's down, of course, by 2 points. And coach calls a timeout. And the team comes over, and what do? They all kneel down around him, right? Turn all their focus on him. Not the court anymore. Turn their focus on the coach. And he gets his little whiteboard out, and he says, "This is what we're going to do." And he proceeds to explain how the Blue Devils are going to come from behind and win, right? By 14 in that last 5 seconds. You know, to understand what Christ is doing, what that training is all about, we've got to take some time and get on our knees and listen to the Lord. Listen to our coach. Listen to the one who is training us. He has already overcome. That's who we want to listen to, right? Choose a time and a place, if you haven't already, where you can stop striving and fighting with all of your troubles and spend some time listening. If you don't have a regular quiet time, first fruits, whatever you want to call it, a regular time to spend with the Lord, I encourage you, establish that habit. First thing in the morning, maybe it's only 5 minutes to begin with. I guarantee if you start doing it for 5 minutes, it'll get longer because you won't be satisfied with 5 minutes. It won't be enough for you as the Lord begins to fill you up. If you haven't discovered them yet, you might look back in the coffee room on the tables. We have these little books, Daily Devotion, The Word for You. It's a place to start. It's got, for each day, a little bit of scripture and some things for you to meditate on. It's a place to start. There's lots of tools out there. There's lots of people here who can help you grow that time. But we all need that time to stop and listen to the Lord so that when we get back out on the court, we know what the plan is. So first thing, take a knee. Second thing, trust the trainer. Read a book by Audie Murphy. If you don't know Audie Murphy, he was an actor back in the 40s and 50s, a lot of cowboy movies and things. But before that, Audie Murphy was the most decorated soldier of World War II. Medal of Honor winner, tons of other recognition in World War II. And I read his biography of his time in the war. And at one point, they're fighting their way through France, and it's so dangerous, almost daily, they would lose half of their platoon. And then the army would bring up replacement soldiers to fill out their numbers. And these rookie soldiers would come in, and Audie Murphy would tell them one thing. He would say, if you want to survive, get with one of these veterans who've survived, and whatever he does, whatever he says, that's what you should do. If you want to survive out here on the battlefield. The Bible tells us a very similar kind of thing in Hebrews 12. Starting with verse 1, second half of verse 1, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Not like Jesus, right? Sometimes I take a knee, I listen to the Lord, and then I say, Lord, I'm not sure I really like your plan. That sounds hard. That doesn't really make sense. I'm going to do my thing over here. And, you know, Audie Murphy found some of their new soldiers would do the same thing. He'd tell them, hey, stick with this guy. And then he'd wander off and do his own thing. And boom, you know, he'd get taken out. In the midst of the battlefield, if you're not watching the guys who know what they're doing, who are winning, you're going to get wiped out fast. So like those rookies, if we want to overcome, we've got to listen to the one who already won the battle. He already went through all the trouble, all the pain, all the temptations. He came out the other side. They even killed him, and he came back. Trust him, obey him, and we can overcome like him. Third thing, train together. Christ's strategy to overcome is a team effort. It's something we do together. He calls us to be a community, a team, a body of disciples. We bear one another's burdens. We build one another in our faith. We encourage, we serve, we love. We overcome together, not by ourselves. So attend church. Good job. Step one. If you're not in a life group, get in a group. Not for them, for you. It'll be a huge blessing. Build some vital Christian friendships. People who, if you are lying in a ditch, they'll go, hey, where's Lyle? We need to call him. Let's go find him. What's going on with him? You know, you want some people who will think about you if you're not around. Serve one another. Love one another. Community is indispensable to overcoming. Finally, fourth thing, testify about the triumphs. Right? We tell people what Jesus did. He laid down his life. He suffered. He died, but he rose again. He overcame. That's the gospel, right?
Share the gospel with people. For them, but also for you, you need to remember what he's overcome. Testify about your own overcoming. When you struggle, when you've got a trouble, and somebody prays for you, and the Lord delivers you, you need to tell somebody. You share that. It'll help you rejoice. It'll give them hope in their own struggles. Today, I just want to encourage you to take heart. No doubt, you've got some struggles. That's kind of accepted. If you don't, you probably soon will be. A couple of months ago, I was like, hey, things have been pretty smooth sailing for a couple of months. That was about 2 weeks before my back went out, you know. If you're not dealing with something, praise God. Give thanks for that. But, you know, probably something right around the corner. But it's going to become part of your testimony, right? It's going to be something that you rejoice over, something that gives hope to other people. You're normal. You're not alone. You can overcome. Hebrews chapter 10. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So don't despair. Don't shrink back. Draw near to Christ. Keep trusting him. Decide today, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let the troubles win. I am going to overcome. This morning, maybe you need to have that initial faith in Christ. Maybe you haven't experienced the overcoming nature of who Jesus is, and you need faith. And if that's the case, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe you are a believer and you've been going through some trials and you just need some prayer, somebody to come alongside you and encourage you and tell you that it's temporary, that it's training, that they're not weird for struggling.